And now, Lifestyles Unlimited presents the Real Estate Investor Radio Show. Over the next hour, we unfold your map to financial freedom. You'll learn how to retire through investing in single-family and multifamily real estate. You'll learn how to create cash flow and build wealth so you can have the time and money to live the lifestyle you want.
Welcome to the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show, where, as always, we're working on your financial freedom. I'm Mike Harrison. It's my privilege to be joining you today, and I want to thank you for tuning in. If you have any questions for me, I'm a real estate investor in both single-family properties and multifamily properties. My email address is askmike@luinc.com, askmike@luinc.com. Well, here we are, and the stock market is tanking. It's not if, it's when. Been a nice run, but what goes up must come down. And I have a topic that I want to review today because it seems to come up more often during the down markets than the question I get during the up markets. And really, what we're going to talk about today is purchasing real estate within a self-directed IRA. And it's been well over a year since I've addressed this on the show. A few emails have come in the last couple of weeks. People asking me about it, hey, what do you think about this? And so I thought, heck, why not? I'll knock this topic out, and hopefully we can cover that today. But it's interesting. People often, they'll come up to me and they'll say, Mike, you're a real estate investor. Should I pull money out of my 401k IRA, stock market, mutual fund, what, fill in the blank, but essentially any sort of Wall Street controlled fund that you have, Mike, should I pull money out of that to invest in real estate? And always, if you've been listening to me for any amount of time, my answer is yes, yes, and yes. Real estate is just a much, much better investment for many different reasons. It's a much safer investment. When done properly, you need to be educated. You need to know what you're doing. And there's certain assets that I invest in, and there's a lot of other real estate asset types, land, for instance, commercial, that I don't invest in. Not to say that people don't do very well. That's just not my area of knowledge. I'm a single family investor and I'm a multifamily investor. That's where I stay. But people, they'll ask me and I'm like, yes, of course, absolutely. Pull your money out. Let's go. Let's get some real estate. Let's get moving down the road. The pushback I get typically when the market is well, and it's been a long run, like I said, is, well, the market's doing great. I don't want to pull it out just yet. Okay, fair enough. You asked me. I gave you my opinion, and, you know, it's, hey, this is your business, and no one's going to tell you what to do. I think that's wrong, but you asked me, I answered. Now, on the contrary, when the market is down, like we're experiencing, and by the way, there's no good news on the horizon. This trend will continue. I mean, it's not like tomorrow we're going to get a beacon of news that things are better and that this policy has been put in place or reversed or changed and we're going to do these seven things to bring the economy back. You're just not going to get that news. So my prediction, again, I'm no Wall Street expert or financial expert by any means, just a guy who's been around for a few decades and been through a couple of these. My prediction is the market will continue to trend down, and I don't see any good news on the horizon to give it a reason to come back anytime soon. Just throwing that out there. But when it's down, you get the same question. Mike, should I take money out of my stock, whatever, mutual fund, you name it, to purchase real estate? Yes. And then they respond, well, the market's down. I want to wait till it comes back. I'm like, okay. But there's a group of people that don't say that. And they say, you know what? I'm done. I'm tired of it. This is the third time, or this is the fourth time that's happened to me. I got cleaned out twice, personally. I was a stock market guy for the majority of my life, at least the majority of my corporate life. you know, young, and you start doing what they tell you to do and setting your 20% aside into the stock market. And then you get the corporate job and you're feeding the 401k. And if you lose that job or move on or change jobs, then you have the opportunity to change it into an IRA. I had both, but I was feeding that, and I went through a couple of downturns, 2008, 2010, ring a bell. And I said, I have had enough. I am done losing. I need to find a better way. So there's some people that are like, Mike, right on. Let's do this. I should have done it 2 years ago. We all say that, right? Hindsight's 20/20. But anyway, they're ready to move forward. But then you get within that, you get this half measure. These people say, well, I really don't want to just cash out my IRA and get real estate. I'd rather keep my IRA, save my IRA. And it's a mindset thing. I get it. Again, I'm the guy. I did the self-directed IRA when I was looking for another way to move ahead, to save ahead, to create some sort of financial future for my wife, for my family, for myself down the road. And I knew that the stock market was just fickle. She was going to, every 10 years, she was going to go south and take that 40% from you. So I said, well, I don't want to just cash out my IRA. Why? It was the 10% penalty and the taxes that I was afraid of. Now, going back in time, this is 2010-ish, 2011, somewhere in there. And so I had the bright idea to get the self-directed IRA, and I started purchasing real estate within the self-directed IRA. Quite frankly, it was before I had found Lifestyles Unlimited and had become educated, but it was a half measure, okay? Half measure. I wasn't pulling the money out of the IRA. I was converting those funds in the IRA to real estate assets. If you miss any parts of this show, or if you're just now tuning in, I want you to know you can always pick us up on your favorite podcast app on your smartphone there. Just punch in that app and go to the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show. Subscribe. That's my favorite way to do it. And then the shows will automatically upload. Then when you have some free time, some windshield time, you're outside, what have you, you can tooth it up and listen to the show there and stay fresh. And you'll catch my show. You'll catch the shows from the other host, Al Gordon, Mr. Andy Webb himself, Dale Walmsley, naturally. But you'll find all the shows there on that podcast app. My favorite way to do it. You can find us on YouTube. We have a ton of content on YouTube, not just the shows. You go to YouTube, type in Lifestyles Unlimited, type in Dale Walmsley. You'll find that Lifestyles Unlimited channel there on YouTube. And like I said, it's got just a lot more content than just the radio show. And as always, the website, lifestylesunlimited.com. You'll find the show there. Just click on the radio button. Look, there might be 15, maybe 20 years of shows there. The cool thing is you can go all the way down. There's a search bar in the bottom right, and just type in any sort of topic or one of the hosts or what have you that you're looking for. For instance, self-directed IRA, type that in, see what pops up, or type in SD IRA. That's today's subject. Type in taxes, anything you want, and you'll find just a gazillion shows there that you can listen to and stay fresh and in tune with real estate investing. So I get several questions on the idea of buying real estate within an IRA, a self-directed IRA. And like I said earlier, these questions, I think people get a little more serious about it during market downturns than they do during the upturns. And let's think about that for a second. It's really counterintuitive. If you're gambling, when is the best time to take your money off the table? It's when you're up, friends. It's when you're up, not when you get cleaned out or when you're down and you get hammered. But, and I'm no psychologist, that's human nature. You're at the table, you're up a couple grand, maybe 2,500, and that little voice, that little angel on your right shoulder is saying, walk away, walk away, walk away. But no, you stay there, and all of a sudden, wham, now you're down to 1,200. You get upset, you take all your chips, and you move on. I think it's some of the same psychology that people want to make a move when the stock market's down. I was that guy, okay? I got wiped like everybody else, 2008, 2010. I said enough is enough and needed to find a better way. And I found Lifestyles Unlimited, and it changed my life. I became educated and learned how to effectively invest in real estate. But there was a little segment of my investing path, my Mike Harris investing path, for about 2 years before Lifestyles Unlimited. So fed up, find a new way, real estate, I'm going to buy real estate. And so I came up with the clever idea to buy it within a self-directed IRA. I wasn't brave enough to pull it out. And maybe bravery isn't the word. You know, I was the Money Magazine guy at the time, and I'd been told that the dumbest thing in the world you can do is pull money out of an IRA or 401k because you have to pay the penalty and you have to pay the taxes. Looking back, it's the best move I ever made in my life and put it in real estate and changed my life, and it continues to change my life today. But again, just a note on the psychology of people that they don't cash in when the market's up. And a lot of them won't cash in when the market's down. They want to wait for it to come back. Okay, I get it. But again, it's a mindset thing. But there's that small group that say, by golly, I have had enough. I'm done. I heard that real estate's good, or I listened to the show for a few years, or I got a friend of a friend that buys real estate. I'm going to do it. And so when I'm talking about buying real estate within an IRA, self-directed IRA, I'm talking about physical ownership of the property. I'm talking about actually buying it. I'm not talking about investing in a REIT, right? R-E-I-T. Some of you believe REITs are a good idea, and some of you believe that if you own a REIT, you own real estate. Wrong. If you own a REIT, a real estate investment trust, you own shares in a company that owns and operates and finances income-producing property. You don't own the producing property. And I'll even say, in one of the reasons it'll come up later, when you quote-unquote own real estate in an IRA, you don't own the real estate in your IRA. But we're going to touch on that on the backside. Stick with me. The IRA owns it. So REIT, kind of similar. You own shares in a company that owns real estate, but you don't own real estate. People think REITs are great. I'm not saying they're bad. They can generate some income distribution for investors, but really, you don't get any of the very little in ways of the capital appreciation, again, because you're owning a company and you need the value of that company to improve for you to really take full advantage of the REIT. So REITs they're traded like stocks. That makes them highly liquid. Again, some people are like, Mike, that's why I'd never own real estate. It's not liquid, but my REIT is very liquid. Yeah, you can punch a button and you can sell your shares in it. Sure. Look, let me tell you something. Real estate's as liquid as you want it to be. If I need to move a house tomorrow, I can price it such that it will sell tomorrow. Okay. You just have to price it within the market, and that works in good times and in bad. Now, in the bad times, when things are down, you might not like it, but I'm telling you, real estate's as liquid as you want it to be, okay? We're talking about issues with mindset. Well, my house is worth $270, but I have 38 offers from $248 to $255. Guess what, friend? Your house is worth anywhere from $248 to $255. You think it's worth $270. You want $270, but the market's telling you $248 to $255. What's that house worth? $248 to $255. So when I'm talking about buying real estate, I'm talking about physical ownership. Now, the difference, the self-directed IRA, you take the money in the IRA and you buy the real estate versus, and the IRA owns the real estate, versus the physical ownership that we, as real estate owners, we get full benefits of ownership. All five profit centers from single family, and there's six profit centers in multifamily. What are these profit centers? Cash flow. I pay the principal, the interest, the taxes, and the insurance. I keep the difference. That's cash flow. mortgage pay down. We pay the mortgage every month. You get a little piece of that, 100, 200, 300, depending on how big your mortgage is. It stacks up, especially when you had 10, 15 houses on top of that, and you're getting that little piece monthly. Tax advantages. That's big. We're going to talk about that later in the show. But if I own real estate versus my IRA, I've got the tax advantages. My IRA doesn't necessarily have it. Equity capture, appreciation, then, of course, in a multifamily property, you're not buying a property, you're buying a business, you can get that forced appreciation.
Got questions? Call Lifestyles Unlimited at 855-497-4335. The Real Estate Investor Radio Show continues next.
Well, one thing it has meant for us, and we have to compliment you, you've given us our time back. And I say our time because we got married 33 years ago, and we got married in July. Do you know why? Well, that was before I met Lifestyles. I used to work for Ford Motor Company. And with Ford Motor Company, I was in the automotive division. They have shut down during July, the first 2 weeks of July.
So you had to wait for a shutdown to get married?
Yes.
He actually.
Whoa, that's dedication there.
He made me change our wedding date. It was supposed to be June 15th, and I changed.
Wow, that's amazing.
So if I had been in Lifestyle, I could have gotten married when I wanted to.
And the ring would have been bigger.
Thank you. Ready to get your time back like Vivian and Cornell? Register for the free online workshop at lifestylesunlimitedworkshop.com.
Welcome back to the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show. I'm Mike Harrison, and as always, we're working on your financial freedom. I want to thank you for tuning in today. Okay, stock market's down. We all know that. That shouldn't be news to anybody based on what's happening out there between inflation and interest rates. It's going to continue to be down. I have a lot of people that suddenly come back around and they go, hey, tell me about this real estate thing. I've been telling you for 3 years. But anyway, hey, welcome aboard. I'm happy to have you. Let's do this. Let's change our life. Let's begin today. But there's always the people that say, well, the only money I have to invest is in my IRA. And that makes sense. I get it. If you're doing what they've told you to do, the conventional world, you have essentially saved, and you're putting all your extra money, every little bit of extra that you have into either that IRA or that 401k. Now, we can't buy real estate in our 401k, but we can buy it in a what they call a self-directed IRA. So you got to convert it into from an IRA to a self-directed IRA, and that's a whole, anyway, that there's a process to that. And then within that self-directed IRA, you can proceed forward with purchasing real estate. That's not a good idea. I've done it. Okay, look, it's better than investing in the stock market. If that's all you're going to do, hey, okay, it's a step forward. I started out that way. But there's five very big reasons why you can be more effective just pulling it out. But the reason most people... there's a couple reasons that people would say, I want to buy it in my real estate. One, they can't get over the doggone 10% penalty. They just can't get past it. Look, 10%, that's the bus fee, my friend. That's nothing. You're going to pay it and you're going to make that back so quickly. Get over that penalty. Get over it. Because we're making money 5 ways on single family properties, 6 ways in multifamily properties. The other reason, taxes. People are like, well, I'm going to have to pay all these taxes if I pull my money out. You're going to pay the taxes on your IRA regardless, whether you pay it now or when you're 65 or whenever the heck you decide to pull it out. You can't hide from the taxes, okay? Now, you might have a Roth where you prepaid the tax and you don't have it on the other side, but most people have standard IRAs. Don't let the taxes hinder you. If you got the Roth, good for you. Then let's get past the penalty. But I believe if you're pulling it out prior to 59 and a half, you're going to pay taxes on that just like income. Anyway, those shouldn't be the issues, friends. Those should not be the issues. But most people look at the IRA because that's where their bag of money is, and that's all they have. And so they can't get past it, so they say, well, I'll just do the self-directed IRA. Okay, when I did this in 2010, 2011, it was much more difficult than it is today. Okay, keep in mind where we were from a technology base. We had internet, email, that sort of thing. But there was very few companies that actually did self-directed IRAs. So I had to track one down, and then everything was manual. Had to print out paperwork, mail them paperwork. We didn't have DocuSign, or DocuSign wasn't acceptable. You couldn't fax sign documents over there. You literally had to, you can print it out from your computer, but then you had to sign it and then mail it back. It's very time consuming. It was a big process, but I'm not even counting that as an issue today. Today, the technology, you can do it online. It's much quicker, much easier if that's, you know, an avenue you choose to pursue. But issue number one, and I've identified five, the fees. The fees on these self-directed IRAs are outrageous, okay? Look at them. You could easily spend well over $1,000 setting up a self-directed IRA. It may cost you well over $1,000 a year in the fees on top of that. So huge fees. And then the other thing about owning real estate in a self-directed IRA, not as easy as you think. You have to have a checkbook, okay, associated with the IRA. And the checkbook goes to all the cost of the property, okay? All the cost of the property. For instance, let's say you need to get some trees trimmed. You can't go over there and trim the trees yourself. It's just not allowed. This is your IRA that owns the property. Joe Smith does not own the property. The IRA owns it. And so you have to track all that with this checkbook. So you're paying checkbook fees. And then there's custodial fees. There's asset purchase fees. There's expense fees. There's setup fees. You combine all these fees in the IRA and you're losing a lot of your profit, my friends. You're losing a ton of your profit. And, you know, I don't know if it's really that expensive. I think that maybe some of these self-directed IRA companies are saying, hey, we're unique, we're special. We've hit a hot button there with people wanting to move funds from Wall Street to Main Street and buy real estate. So why don't we just fee the heck out of them? Now, on the contrary, do I have fees owning my real estate? Absolutely, I do. I have management fees. I've got property tax. I've got closing cost. I've got interest on the loans. But I want you to think about something. One, I bake those fees in to my deal beforehand. Okay, I count my cash flow and my returns after all of those fees. Now, when we get into one of the other five reasons that I've identified, taxes, I'm able to write mine off. You, in your self-directed IRA, cannot write those fees off. As for me, it's a business expense, okay? The IRA owner does not get that advantage. Why? Because the asset's in the IRA. You're not owning, you don't own the property. The IRA owns the property. It's much different the way the IRS treats this, okay? So fees is issue number one. The fees are outrageous. Issue number two, leverage. I have leverage on all of my properties, all of them. And it's literally every day Freddie Mac, Fannie Mae loans, mortgages that are on my property. Now, you can have debt in that self-directed IRA. It's hard to find those where you can actually have a loan within it. It's very difficult, but that debt cannot be personally guaranteed. It must be a non-recourse loan. Okay, it must be a non-recourse loan, which makes it even more difficult. So essentially, you're giving up the leverage of purchasing that real estate within that self-directed IRA. And because you don't have leverage on it, your returns are way down. Let me give you an example. The home I had in my self-directed IRA was valued anywhere from $180,000 to $200,000. This is that rent property. It was earning $1,650 per month. That was the rent. And that came out to about $19,800 a year. That's a 9% return before I paid my property tax. So really, it was more like a 7.5% return, maybe a little less. If I had had leverage, on that property. I could have taken $180,000, $200,000. Now, keep in mind, this is 2010, 2011. I could have easily purchased 8 houses, maybe more, easily. And the return on each of those houses would have been $500 per month. This is putting leverage on there. So on one hand, $500 a month, 8 houses, that's $4,000. That's $48,000 per year. Keep in mind, that's net. That's all in. That's after taxes, interest, insurance. Everything's been paid. Would you rather have $19,000 a year or $48,000 a year? And quite frankly, it could have easily been over 10 houses. So just the returns, you're looking at a 7, 7.5, maybe even a 9, like I said, versus something in the 24-25% range. That's what you can do with leverage. People, that highlights why we put leverage on every property. People are like, why do you have a mortgage on every property? Well, I may be making less per month than someone who doesn't have the mortgage on the property, but I don't have one property. I have 8 properties. There's just a better way to do it, and that's flat out owning the properties. Yes, I realize if you're going to need to pull money out of your IRA, you're going to have to pay that 10% penalty, and you're going to have to pay the taxes. I'm going to tell you, friends, the returns that we're getting, you will look back on that, and it just won't affect you. You will actually say to yourself, just like everybody else does, I should have done this sooner. We all say that. If you'd like to learn more exactly how we do what we do, I invite you to tune in to one of our workshops. Go to Lifestyles Unlimited Workshop, lifestylesunlimitedworkshop.com. See for yourself how we make money 5 ways on single family properties and 6 ways on multifamily properties. It's interactive. You can ask questions. Tune in with your spouse, your best friend, one of your kids, anybody who's interested in real estate investing at all. I invite you to do that, and you can get all your questions answered there. Now, there's 5 issues with owning real estate in self-directed IRA. 1 was the fees. The fees are outrageous. They nickel and dime the heck out of you. 2, leverage. It's very difficult to get leverage within a self-directed IRA, and it needs to be a non-recourse loan, which sets up a whole nother slew of standards, which means you probably have to hold other assets within that IRA to account for the real estate. It's just another hurdle, just another complicated red tape hurdle. Issue 3. Now, issue 3 is a mindset issue, okay? I call it when you shift and you say, okay, I'm leaving Wall Street. We're done. Get on the bus, Gus, right? Don't need to hesitate. Just go. But you've left Wall Street and you said, I'm buying some real estate within a self-directed IRA. That's a half measure. And so we get caught up in this, let's call it a complacency paradigm. And it's a mindset. And so why do I say that? Well, the IRA is designed for you to not have access to those funds until age 59 and a half at the earliest, 59 and a half. They'd actually prefer that you take the funds out later than that. But at 59 and a half, you don't have to pay that 10% penalty. The government says, by golly, I've kept your money for 30 years and now you can have full access. I won't penalize you for taking your money back at 59 and a half. That's the age the government's assigned to you to possibly begin retirement. Again, they prefer you do it much later, and they try to entice you with the Social Security payments. Now, the funny thing is they have required minimum distributions, RMDs. They say, yeah, you can take it at 59 and a half, but if you're at 74, you better start taking it. Anyway, it's just a game, but it's this complacency paradigm that if you're buying that real estate within the self-directed IRA, you have essentially told yourself, I am not going to be financially free before I'm 59 and a half. It's just not going to happen. So I might as well wait until I'm 59 and a half, 60, 62, 65, 70, fill in the blank. But you have accepted the complacency paradigm that you won't retire before 59 and a half. And for us, retirement means financial freedom. So that issue number 3 for me, that complacency paradigm, it's all mindset, There's nothing within the self-directed IRA like a fee or the leverage issue. It's just the fact that you've accepted, hey, my future is tied to the IRA. Although I'm not happy with Wall Street, I'm buying the real estate. So complacency paradigm, issue number three. Issue number four. This is the big one. This is the 600-pound gorilla in the room. No cash flow. You have no cash flow. And you may be saying, Harrison, what do you mean I have no cash flow? That's why we buy these properties. We buy the property, and then the resident pays the rent, and we pay the principal, the interest, the taxes, and the insurance, and we're left with $400 to $500 a month. Well, friend, if you own that property in an IRA, you don't get to keep that money. The IRA keeps it. You have to put it back into the IRA. So there's no, you're not going ahead. There's no advantage. And that's the whole reason why we buy real estate. Must cash flow. We want to use the cash flow to buy our life back one chunk at a time. And eventually when that cash flow is great enough, we can walk from a W-2 job if we want. We're financially free. So if you're buying property in a self-directed IRA and you have to put all that additional cash flow back into the IRA, what are we doing? What's the purpose here? Huh? We're investing in real estate to get our life back. If you're buying it in the self-directed IRA, hey, and I'm not throwing darts, I was one of you. You're just stacking that money for down the road. You're not able to take advantage of it and enjoy life today with that cash flow. Bless your family today. Do things now. Take a great vacation, whatever you want to do, whatever extra money in your pocket means. Sleep better at night. If you're giving all the money to the IRA, but you struggle to pay your mortgage and you struggle to pay the electric bill, and now that groceries cost an arm and a leg, and I have three kids that I'm feeding, so yes, I know what you're going through. It is outrageous what we're spending today. That cash flow's not helping you. It's not helping you. It's helping your IRA, and again, you're just kicking the can down the road, kicking the can down the road. So our number one reason, in fact, we have a rule here, must cash flow. If you're buying that real estate in the self-directed IRA, must cash flow. It's not cash flowing. It's a return in an investment that you own, and that investment happens to own the real estate. So if that reason alone, if I can't change your mind on that reason alone, reason number five should change your mind to not do the self-directed IRA. What is reason number five? No tax benefits. None. Now you're scratching your head and you're like, no, Harrison, there's tax benefits into owning an IRA, or there's tax benefits into owning a Roth IRA. Sure, you get those benefits that's baked in to those two types of investments. But just because you own real estate in that type of investment doesn't improve your tax benefit. They don't change the rules suddenly and say, oh, well, by gosh, you don't own stocks in your IRA. You own real estate. By all means, the taxes are different. No, no, and no. Okay. An IRA is designed to have tax benefits. Essentially, you can either use pre-tax money and pay the taxes at the end. When you pull it out, or in a Roth, you use post-tax money and you get the tax-free withdrawals in the end, again, provided you wait until after 59 and a half. So historically, the traditional IRA, what do they tell you? Oh, you'll have a lower tax bracket at the end. Because again, if you're pulling money out of the IRA, it is taxed as regular income, ordinary income. So if you pull enough out, you might get taxed at 42, 45%, whatever, all in at that highest tax bracket. But they always tell you, you're old and decrepit and you're not going to need very much money, so you're going to be in a lower tax bracket. Do we really believe that? I mean, so that's the big advantage of the IRA is that potentially you might have a lower tax bracket at the end. Look, real estate is already tax advantageous. We're deducting all of our expenses, taxes, management fees, insurance, mortgage interest. We're using depreciation of the asset, right? The cash flow that I mentioned, reason number four, well, if we're depreciating that property properly, chances are that cash flow is tax-free. Now, think about it. If you had to give that cash to the self-directed IRA, at the end, you're going to get taxed on that money as ordinary income. It doesn't matter how it came to you. So that depreciation tool that we use within real estate is invalid within this self-directed IRA. Okay. Now, if we do need to pay taxes on that income, how is it taxed? It's taxed as a capital gain, not as ordinary income. So if we have a little bit where we are taxed, it's taxed at a capital gain, a much lower rate. So IRAs are taxed as ordinary income. What else? At death, I can pass my real estate assets to my children, to my heirs, at a stepped-up basis, tax-free. All the deferrals goes away. Defer, die. They get the property tax-free. Not so in an IRA. If you leave an IRA, your heirs, they will pay tax on the distribution. So putting real estate in an IRA, my friend, actually makes the real estate less friendly. So I hope I got your attention today on why the self-directed IRA is not the most effective means to invest in real estate. If you are considering this, send me an email. I am happy to continue the discussion further. Again, this is something that I did. But I would encourage you, friends, if you have decided, I'm done with Wall Street, I'm done with downturns, I'm done getting my teeth kicked in, and I'm ready to buy some real estate, I'm ready to change my life, I'm ready to compound these investments on top of one another and create the cash flow snowball, I encourage you to go all in. Don't take half measures. And also, I want you to understand, it's not the money. It's the lifestyle. My name's Mike Harrison. We'll see you next week. Make it a great day.
The information and opinions you hear on the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show are those of the host, guests, and callers and do not necessarily reflect the opinions of this station, its affiliates, its management, or advertisers. The Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show is for entertainment purposes only. Please consult a professional regarding your personal investment needs. Nothing presented on the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show constitutes an endorsement, recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or security.